The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. Somehow, he always ends up in the upper left. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. How are the Medicine Hat Tigers doing this season?
They're just in training camp right now.
Oh, okay.
Slow start. So
okay, slow start. Yep.
Yes.
Just like the Detroit Tigers
are
camp right now.
So. Was it pitchers and catchers?
Pitchers and catchers, yeah.
We shall see. It'll be an interesting season.
Yeah, Comerica Park released a statement kind of quietly saying, even though, of course, the park holds 48,000, they were hoping to have about 8,000 fans there on opening day going forward. So
good luck.
Yep. Good luck indeed.
Yes.
Someone who knows a lot about baseball, it's Professor Heather Hill.
I don't know if I'd say that, but thank you, Matt.
Well, I was thinking about you today. Because there was a news report of one Rick Porcello, former Boston Red Sox pitcher.
I have not been online today, so I would not be aware of that. The Red Sox don't seem to be doing anything in terms of moves this season. I don't know what they think they're doing, but I continue to be a fan.
Of course.
Especially compared to the stupid Yankees.
Well, yeah, I have to agree with that.
Everybody gets to hate the Yankees because they're the Yankees.
That's easy. I mean, that's like making fun of Ted Cruz.
It's like hating the Patriots. I mean,
has anybody created a phrase now? I think I'm going to pull a Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz pulled.
I'm sure that will happen. Yeah. His attempts to walk it back were pretty lame. And
throwing his kids under the bus.
Yeah. Just own it, dude.
You can count on SNL to do a bit about that tomorrow night.
No question about it.
I can't wait
about it.
Oh, I know.
That's a TV ad that just writes itself for Democrats when the next time.
Just show the video of him getting on the plane. That's all you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like Ted Cruz, I blame my kids. Professor Stephanie Conant is here with us today.
Dang it. I was hoping I wasn't going to follow that one.
Sorry.
That's okay.
What have you got to say about Ted Cruz? No, it's really sad.
Nothing nice. And they say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Professor Stephen Manning is here with us today. What's going on?
What's going on? Had the first COVID shot this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Going down that road.
Which took away somebody's age a little bit.
Yeah, the second one in 3 weeks from today. So
okay.
Good. It was surprisingly efficient, too.
Where did you go?
I'm in the Henry Ford system through the university and even as a retiree. And I went up to, registered before age and all this stuff. And they said, we're ready for you. And this was, I think, last Saturday. The first openings were today. They had tons of them all day Monday morning, all day Monday afternoon. So I just picked a random time. I mean, not too early, obviously. And it was up in Troy.
Eesh.
Which I had, it's on.
Well, that's a hike.
Maple. It's on Maple. That was the closest one, you know. It was on Maple in Troy and 20 minutes away. But it was very efficiently run. You know, you park, you go in, you get checked. I was in and out in. Actually, the most time is after you get the shot, you go to this waiting room and you wait for 15 minutes to make sure you don't have any effects. So in and out,
nice.
Well done. Yeah.
Good. Professor Beth Oljar is certainly waiting for her vaccination whenever that time will come.
Yes, it would be nice if it would come soon because I feel like I've survived the first wave of this, but these variants are kind of freaking me out. So
yes,
I want to, but I didn't identify myself as an essential worker because I don't think my level of education is quite essential. So
you have a PhD, don't you?
Yeah.
You have a cat that relies on you, don't you?
I do, but
that's three.
There are lots of other people who should get that thing before me, and I have comorbidities. So, I mean, I can wait my turn. I'm patient and
your patient.
Hope for the best. Actually, I'm not. I'm not a patient person at all, except with students. That's it. It's only when I'm teaching.
Students in pandemics.
Well, you know.
And litter boxes.
I'd rather have the vaccine sooner rather than later, but you know, I will trust that things will work out.
It will coincide with the change in weather and everything will feel new like the spring. Professor Dan Maggio is here in his hipster studio apartment.
Yes. I won the lottery. I moved. Hi, Matt.
What's going on, Dan?
It's not much. I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Yep.
With nothing to do.
So, yeah, I'm so sorry. You messaged me the other day. You're like, please tell me that the fish fry is
gonna... I want fish sorry, fry. Man. So we're going to look other places.
Scotty Simpsons.
Scotty Simpsons. Yeah.
Where's that? Oh, you've talked about that.
In yes. the city. Yep.
Yes. Well, we may venture off for some fish fry. So
hey, Dan, I did see Republica's offering a good looking fish fry today on their Instagram.
Okay.
All right. We could consider that.
Yep.
Put it on the to-do list.
So we did, but we missed the shrine, you know, it was kind of special.
And it wasn't fried. That's what made it so special. It was everything was baked. So that right. it felt slightly less bad. And right. then you walk in and they were making these this tall Sanders hot fudge cream puffs. And every table had a brownie or a Girl Scout mm-hmm. station at it.
So cookies. That's the other thing is that it's really hard. I don't know if anybody else is addicted to Girl Scout cookies, but it's really hard to find them. This year.
I haven't bought any this year.
Yes.
So the only opportunity I had, and I caught it on Facebook, some Girl Scout troop was set up shop in the Berkeley High School parking lot two Saturdays ago. You could just drive up and just purchase cases.
Dan, go check out the Hollywood Market. They're usually inside the alcove.
I know, but they haven't been.
I meant to order some from Kendra's Girls, but
we missed out on that one.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
It was a while ago, though. I don't know where those damn cookies are.
Heather, I will bring you a box of cookies. All I have is peanut butter.
No, it's fine. I'm not. It's. I just like to support them.
So I did. I bought several.
This is one way of getting Kendra back on the show.
But certainly not least on our panel for today is Professor Jeff Boats.
You've got all the cookies, Jeff. Right?
No, I was just thinking, I'm probably the only person here who doesn't eat cookies.
Oh, no.
Like, what? Ever. I don't even make Christmas cookies.
You can traffic in them, though.
Launder. See me down in the State Fair area peddling cookies, you know, as I walk down the street waving at the drivers.
Mm-hmm. You mean on 8 Mile? You got a problem with 8 Mile, Jeff?
8 Mile, no.
I can see it from here.
Like Russia.
Exactly.
I think 8 Mile's a little closer.
Folks, you know, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. Send us questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We had a short chat before the show today and talked about the very real possibility sometime in the not too distant future where you might even be able to have some of our listeners on one of our Zoom calls. And we're going to obscure our faces and, you know, mask our voices and see.
Pixelation. Lots of pixelation.
Exactly. Lots of pixelation like those old crime dramas. But see if you can stump us and we'll see what we can come up with. Speaking of stumpage, I got a set of questions sent in by one Professor Stephen Manning. You might know him.
Who?
Conflict of interest.
Recusal.
Yeah. We will see.
We might know him from such shows as this one.
Along with Troy McClure.
We'll see. We'll see if Stephen remembers his correct responses or if any of us can come up with them here, too. A little bit all over the map, but Stephen loves to traffic in that miscellany that is all American life. Let me tell you.
Potpourri.
I'm out of it, then.
A potpourri.
That's right.
Which country, in a little more than just a decade, went from being Latin America's richest nation to its absolute poorest?
Venezuela.
Yeah. Yes, Venezuela. First shot, Beth. First shot. Beth. Little Venice, Beth. Remember from last time? Little Venice. It's kind of sad. the oligarchs took over.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, that's because Miguel Cabrera left.
Yeah, exactly. Miguel Cabrera, Detroit's hugest sports icon, now that we lost Blake Griffin and Matthew Stafford.
And half of Venezuela's GDP.
Oh, well, there you go.
Exactly.
So Washington State votes almost exclusively by mail. A study conducted by the Secretary of State in Washington State found how many potential cases of improper voting in a 2018 election out of more than 3.1 million ballots cast. We're actually looking for a number.
Less than 1%.
2. 27.
Heather stole my answer of 10.
Heather, what were you saying?
10.
You're off by an order of magnitude, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, we're dealing with some pretty big numbers here. 142 cases of fraud.
Hey, I said 145.
I heard that.
Did? Yeah. Holy.
Wow.
I want credit for these.
You got it.
You get it.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was you kind get extra of credit.
I'm just amazed that that guess was that close.
You're a math guy. That's why.
I was obsessed by the percentage, which is listed here as 0.004%.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to convey that it's absolutely statistically negligible with two, but I didn't quite convey that.
But you know what the problem is, Beth, is the deeper we get into this stuff, you realize how much of the standard population does not understand statistics in any way, shape,
or form. Right. Yeah. You know,
that's why we
have it in the core.
That's right.
Majority of the population can't handle a double turning lane. You can't possibly expect them to handle statistics.
I figured you were going to say something like that or half off sour cream. You know, it's like or, one or the other.
Well, my favorite story was when I went into a store once and pop 2 liter was priced at 0.99 cents. And I thought, oh, what a great deal. I'll take 100 of them. But anyway.
Awesome. The United States is home to about 7% of the Somalian diaspora. In which state is the largest concentration of Somali refugees?
Minnesota.
Yeah, it's Minnesota. It is, to make the best analogy, for whatever reason, we have a very large majority population of Chaldeans. That would be Christian, Catholic, mostly Middle Easterners in the Detroit area. And I lived in the Twin Cities for about a year and a half. And it's kind of interesting to see how a culture can permeate a American culture like that. Pretty cool, actually.
That's Representative Ilhan Omar is one of those refugees, actually. So,
by virtue of being in power for 26 years, who's sometimes known as Europe's last dictator? We Putin. Could either get the name or maybe the country they're from.
Putin.
But that one's well,
it's good, but that's not
technically
what's
not here. Europe.
Oh,
Queen Elizabeth?
No, Turkey. The Turkey Erdogan.
Nope. The country, probably give it away. The country starts with the letter B, as in boy.
Belarus?
Belarus's leader, Lukashenko.
That guy.
I mean, dictator for 26 years? Geez, try a little harder. Come on. Go for a lifetime. What is California's share of the national gross domestic product of the United States of America?
1/6.
8%.
What's 1/6, Dan?
16.7%.
Yeah, so I got to give it. I got to give it to Beth. It's 14.
California has the sixth largest economy in the world.
That's what it is. Okay.
So, interesting that you note here, Stephen. California currently is at 14.7. Let's put that at the end of 2020, up from 12.5 in 1997. So in a very short period of time, increasing all the more. Which state, I think you all remember this one, it's a great piece of American trivia, was the last to ratify the 19th Amendment? And when?
Alabama.
Wasn't Alabama.
Mississippi.
It was Mississippi. Yes.
Always a good guess, one of those two.
What year?
What I just needed Dan to narrow it down
wasn't
for me.
Wasn't it just, thanks, Stephanie. Wasn't it just very recently, in the last 20 years?
You could say that. It's a little bit further back from 20 years, but pretty recent.
Sometime in the 70s.
in the 80s.
What was the 19th again? Is that women voting?
Women's
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wait, women couldn't vote in Mississippi until...
No, two-thirds of the states ratified it, so it, you know...
But, they didn't have a choice.
They just never got around to saying, okay, we agree to.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Took 1957. Years. But what was it? Wasn't Wyoming like the first to allow women to vote?
That's true.
I remember. Yeah.
Local law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, you let them read, you let them vote. They want to own their own bodies. It's just mass hysteria.
It was the great year of 1984 when Mississippi allowed the 19th Amendment to get ratified. So you feel like
I thought
maybe
I said 84. Did I? Oh no, I said 74.
Close enough.
They put it on a post-it note. It fell off the monitor, went behind the desk. You know, they were moving buildings. They're like, oh, we forgot to.
Well, there it is.
Tabled.
Wow.
I mean, they're doing it anyway.
Right.
What's the big deal?
Right.
Yeah.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
And we've got questions from Professor Stephen Manning. When and where was the articles of clothing known as the bikini invented?
In France.
Somewhere in Europe. France is a good guess.
It was France.
In the 20s.
Mm-hmm. It was about 75 years ago, so that puts us a little bit further on from the 20s.
40s?
45.
Yep.
Yeah, after, was it named after the Bikini Atoll? I remember
they were
right.
Doing atomic bomb testing.
Yeah.
They said that when people saw the bikini, it was like a bomb went off, and that's where it got its name. For the record, Professor Manning also adds, what is wearing only a bikini bottom referred to as?
Scandalous.
A thong.
Topless. Speedo.
All these are true statements. apparently, it's called a monskini.
Monskini.
A manskimi or monskimi?
M-O-N, monskimi.
It's only a manskimi if Borat does that.
I guess.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh. I can't unsee that image. Thank you. Oh.
Have you ever heard him interviewed, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
He is completely opposite of his.
Oh, yeah.
I was just reading an interview with him today. All of that stuff from Borat, he was infiltrating the right.
I guess
I'm just a little slow to the party, but
it's fun to watch it too.
He plays a French race car driver in the movie Talladega Nights, and he's absolutely brilliant and hysterical.
He's good as Abby Hoffman too.
He's Peter Sellers of our generation.
Yeah,
he can be anybody, and he's hysterical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I like that analogy. That's a good
Dr. one. Strangelove would be a good remake with him.
There you go. As of December 1st, 2020, what country had not recorded a single death from COVID-19?
Vermont.
New Zealand hasn't, I don't think.
Australia. Vatican City.
Did you say country? I apologize.
Country.
Since when?
It would be as of December 1st of last year.
Is it a small island nation?
It is not an island, but it is a smaller nation.
Well, like Vatican City, Monaco...
Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, Monaco,
New Zealand,
Clausen.
It's in Asia.
Oh, like Laos? No.
North Korea?
Vietnam?
Yeah.
Well, once I went to Asia, I was fine.
Wrote it down. What is Japan's adult obesity rate compared to a rate of 36.5% in the United States?
12%.
2%.
Or less.
7.
That's what I was going to say. Do you just mean less?
5%.
Yeah, it's between Dan and Jeff. It's 4% is Japan's obesity rate.
You have a those sumo wrestlers?
That's right.
Oh, those are imports.
They constitute the entirety of Japan's obesity problem, right?
Three of them.
Collectively, there.
And they're making it work for themselves.
The U.S. ranks as the 12th most obese country in the world, and Japan ranks 185th.
What's number one?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I don't have that here, I'm afraid.
Huh.
I'm surprised it's not us.
I thought it was us.
Me too. Huh.
What was the first state that put a seatbelt law on the books?
New Jersey.
Close.
New York?
Yes.
Oh.
However, and I get reminded of this all the time as sort of a classic, Gen Xer. What year was that law passed?
72.
1984?
It was 1984. Yes, it was.
You know what? I grew up in New York, and I remember McDonald's had a thing where they gave you a piece of paper, and every time you wore a seatbelt, you put an X on the paper, and when you filled out the paper, you got a sundae.
What?
Nice.
Man, that's incentive if I ever heard of it,
Yeah, that was 81 or 82. That's why I guess a few years
ago. Well, that was a huge battle because, we're basically kind of anti-paternalistic. So being told to do something even for our own good, right, when it interferes with our liberty to smash ourselves all over the highway, we're just not going to put up with it, right?
That's right. In that vein, and put it in a bucket labeled Nebraska has the only unicameral state legislature. What is the only state that still, as of 2021, does not have a mandatory seatbelt law?
Mississippi.
No.
Alabama.
Oh, Wyoming.
Beth gets it again. It's New Hampshire. Live free or die. That's the way it goes.
Oh, no kidding.
Actually, a really cool motto as state mottos go, if they only weren't quite so crazy.
I'm telling you, their state motto should be like a Bruce Willis movie.
It definitely sounds, when you say it out loud, like airport fiction. Like, you expect to see that on the front of a really thick book that you don't remember anything that happened after you finish reading, How many guns did Americans purchase from March through September? So that's the first part of the pandemic of 2020.
Oh,
too many.
Let's handle this one mathematically.
600 million.
Less. Right.
10 for every person in the country. So that's,
I guess, one for every 10% of the country. So let's say about 33 million.
No, actually, it's a little bit less, but
really?
Got to the order of magnitude very quickly. It was 15 million.
Well, okay.
Guns, Jeff was pretty but close. Mathematically, what was the percentage increase in sales of guns during those months of the pandemic?
Say 150%.
It was 90%, basically 91%.
Because you can shoot a virus? How does this,
No, I'll tell you exactly what the logic was behind that. It's because people were afraid someone would come for their clean water and food and stash and whatever.
Toilet paper. You're right.
I remember thinking when this started that, we'd see people out there breathing on each other and it would be like a zombie apocalypse, except for instead of hoarding guns, the survivors would be the ones who had deep freezers and were hoarding meat.
Yeah, I think you're right.
These weird thoughts that went through my mind at the beginning of this. Well, none of us were
the possible breakdown of civil society, right? That would have been.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just to sort of play with the sort of chunkiest numbers we can. So nationally, that increase was basically 90%. Okay. For the same period, what was the percent increase in sales of guns in the great state of Michigan?
Ooh,
more than 90.
150%.
Partial credit. It was 200% increase.
200%.
Wow. State of Michigan, yes. The European Commission, the executive arm of the European Union, denied funding for 6 towns in what country after nearly 100 local governments declared themselves free from the ideology of LGBT?
What country were they in?
What
again?
Russia?
Not Russia.
Turkey?
The European Commission.
Oh, they're not in the European
Union. Sometimes when you say crazy nonsense stuff, it doesn't make sense the first time. Could you
repeat that? Read it again. What?
Yeah.
The European Commission, the executive arm of the European Union, denied funding for 6 towns in what country after nearly 100 local governments declared themselves free from the ideology of LGBT?
It couldn't have been. Is it someplace surprising, like Sweden or the Netherlands or
Spain, like, or something like that?
France or
It's definitely European. We've got that much. Oh. Someone said Russia, and I'm like,
Poland.
It was Poland. Based on a 2020 survey, an international gay rights organization cited Poland as the most homophobic country in the continent of Europe.
That's it. I'm not eating Polish food anymore.
Man, I had to ruin it.
Sorry.
That's why Hamtramck seceded. So they can do their own thing.
Yeah. Fun off.
And I am not giving up Polish food, by the way. So.
Yeah. Because the day you don't bring me over bags of pierogies to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, one more for the good of the order here.
Oh.
These have been great, Stephen. They've definitely got us talking.
Yeah, he gets a coffee mug.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
the country considers itself, I've never heard this before, the birthplace of wine, with a tradition going back nearly 8,000 years.
Egypt.
Not Egypt. See, that would have made sense to me.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Tigris-Euphrates.
8,000 years, you've got to be.
Who makes good grapes over there?
I would give it away in a split second by saying this is the only country in the world, if I'm thinking about things correctly, that shares its name with a state of the United States of America.
Georgia.
Georgia is what it is. Georgia is the birthplace of wine.
I want a birth certificate on this one. I'm not buying that one.
It makes me think on like a global scale of driving through any interstate in the United States and seeing like, you know, world famous pancakes. It's just, you know, I mean, it can't be every place, you know. It's.
I just want to declare for the record that we are the birthplace of Kool-Aid, and you are not taking that away from us.
In Detroit or America?
America.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
America. Did I hear that McDonald's is bringing back its orange drink?
Yes, I heard that too.
Man, they better.
Yeah, but they need a diet one. I used to love McDonald's orange drink, and now
I don't think I could drink it now, but.
Wasn't it Fanta, though?
No.
It was Fanta after it was the original orange drink.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Fanta doesn't even hold a candle to the original.
I did see that movie about Ray Kroc with Michael Keaton.
Oh, wasn't it great?
Yeah, it was really good.
Very good movie.
I was surprisingly good. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. But after you recommended it, and then I thought, all right, I'm going to go watch it.
You start craving Big Macs?
What?
Did you start craving Big Macs?
Well, you know, if the last thing in the world that I eat is McDonald's french fries, that will be fine with me.
Yeah, that's all right.
No sharing of my sister, she came to visit me not too long after I'd had my surgery, and I was like, going to have a few McDonald's french fries. And Sally's like, well, if you have too many, we can share. And I said, no, sharing and McDonald's french fries do not happen in the same sentence with me.
I love it. The time has come for us to say goodbye, Jeff.
Nuggets all the way.
Damn.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Chicken does not come in nugget form.
Steven.
Goodbye.
Stephanie.
As a former McDonald's employee, goodbye.
Heather.
I've never had nuggets either.
Good grief.
I know, I just...
See ya.
And now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.